You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, the number one national daily baseball podcast out there. That's what they tell me. This is the Daily Show, where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode, which is being dropped on Valentine's Day, will pay tribute to Martin Prado and, oh yeah, give not a lot of love to the Houston Astros. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places where we get your shows. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great new shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it really is your team every day. We now have Locked On Tigers. You know we've got Locked On Blue Jays and Padres. We've had their hosts as guests on for this week. It's been a fun week. Check us out at Locked On MLB underscore net on Twitter, Locked On MLB on Instagram. Lots of really great stuff going on there. Good work, Eric. I am personally at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I want to talk about something positive at the top because I'm going to get a little ranty at the end. But this is supposed to be a respite, and this is supposed to be a celebration of baseball. And some stuff happened yesterday that I think made everyone mad who did not grow up a fan of the Houston Astros. But before I talk about that, let's just honor someone who had a nice career, a solid career, and some really bad luck. Martin Prado is calling it a career. He's played for 14 seasons, broke in with the 2006 Atlanta Braves, finished up with last year's Miami Marlins, played a little bit with the Diamondbacks, a little bit with the Yankees, made an all-star team in 2010, had a nice year that year, had a couple really good solid years, was a versatile player, played all around the infield, was a top 10 MVP candidate in 2010, played in the wild card game with the Braves in 2012. A respected player. He's 36 years old. Probably could have found another home, but it's calling it quits. And was he a great player? No. But he had a good career, one that was able to stick around for a little bit, overcame some injuries towards the end, played in 104 games last year for the Marlins, in his final year, was a regular, and now is calling it a career. Now, one of the reasons why I bring up Martin Prado is I think about players who happen to be on the right team at the right time. I mean, one of the great examples of that is Luis Soho, who picked up 4 World Series rings as a reserve infielder for the New York Yankees. That's not a knock on Luis Soho. In fact, if you remember, Luis Soho got the hit that drove in the eventual winning run in Game 5 of the 2000 World Series, a World Series that the Yankees won, and that he was the big hero for it. I think about people who have been reserves on several teams, people who have been, you know, Clay Bellinger was won a couple of World Series rings with the Yankees. You think about someone like Javier Lopez, who won the World Series ring with the Red Sox in 2007 and 3 with the Giants in 2010, 2012, and 2014. Ryan Terrio, who finished his career with back-to-back World Series titles, 1 with the Cardinals and 1 with the Giants. I'm bringing that up because a player like Martin Prado, if he had timed his career a little better, might be one of those beloved players that you look at and say, oh man, he won himself a World Series ring, a couple of them. But his timing was kind of sort of awful. He joined the Braves in 2006 as a 22-year-old, just as the Braves' run ended. They made every postseason played between 1991 and 2005. He shows up in 2006 when they went on a little bit of a slide. He was injured for the 2010 playoffs with the Braves, playing that wild card game in 2012. He joined the Diamondbacks in between 2 of their postseason runs. He was part of the Yankees for 1 season, and that was one of the few seasons this century that the Yankees missed the playoffs. They've missed the playoffs in 2008, 2013, 2014, and 2016. Four times this century, he managed to land there. And since then, he's been with the Marlins. Now, he is someone who's had a nice, solid career, will probably be a coach. He strikes me as someone who will be on a coaching staff. Anyone who's played for that long and played that many positions, you can see it. You know, he'll probably be in the Marlins organization as a roaming instructor and then work his way up and make someone's team. And like, who's the third base coach for the Brewers? Oh, it's Martin Prado. Oh, I kind of remember him. I think he played for the Braves, right? And who knows, he might be one of those people who gets a bunch of World Series rings as a coach. But he had a career worth celebrating. Never a huge star, an all-star once. Never a champion. But always a reliable player who, wherever you put him on the field, seemed to do the job. Oh, I'm sure there's some stat people will throw this stat at me or that. But baseball is filled with players who are reliable, solid pros, and can play multiple positions. And that seems to be somewhat valuable. And he happened to time his career in the worst way, that he didn't get to have that great spotlight. You know, when you think about sometimes when you have a World Series winner, there always is an unlikely hero. Think about Craig Counsell, who twice was involved in World Series winning rallies where their team was losing in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7. Both of the Marlins in 97 and the Diamondbacks in 2001. Was Craig Counsell a great player? No. But he was at the right place and the right time in those various years. And by being on the team, it allowed him to have that moment. Much like Soho in 2000 and in that same postseason, Vizcaino, Jose Vizcaino, another reserve second baseman, got a walk-off hit for the Yankees in the World Series. Reserve infielders, a couple of them, for the Reds in 1990, Billy Bates and Luis Quiñones, got big, huge hits off the bench that helped clinch a World Series title, that if they go to Cincinnati, they'll get a standing ovation, not because they were great stars, but because when they got their shot in October, they came through. Think about every time there is an unlikely hero in a postseason game, a Mark Lemke, you know, a Mike Mordecai for the Marlins in 2003. Every time something like that happens, stop and think about the fact that they were in the right place at the right time. There could have been a Martin Prado game. There could have been a moment where he had his chance to shine. Alas, it didn't happen. But we're giving you love on Valentine's Day, Martin Prado. Hat tipped for a fine career. Get yourself on a coaching staff and get a few rings while you're at it. I intentionally started today's podcast on a positive note because I want this to be a positive podcast and I wanted to salute something good before I get mad at something bad. You know, the whole premise of the Astros cheating scandal is when they knew what was coming, they pounced on it and excelled. They knew what pitches were coming when the trash can was being banged and everything like that. They were able to smack around some of the best pitchers in baseball in that 2017 postseason. And I find it oddly ironic that they knew what was coming at the beginning of spring training, and boy, did they swing and miss. They swung and missed big time. Everybody knew that the first few weeks of spring training were going to be a fecal matter show. And I'm only saying it that way because I'm trying to keep this from getting an explicit rating. And they had a no cameras, no reporters, block everyone out. You can't even go into the driveway, into the parking lot, right up to the gate, nothing meeting, where the owners of the front office were meeting with the players for a full day before they opened the gates and allowed the reporters to ask them questions. So they had the chance to go over, rehearse, have people there giving counterarguments. And what resulted was an absolute disaster today. Absolutely everybody got it wrong. The closest you got to someone coming through was Carlos Correa saying, we cheated and it kind of helped. Everyone else, I mean, I'm not letting Correa off the hook, but everyone else was a disaster. Jose Altuve, one of my favorite players in baseball, was a disaster. Saying, we feel a lot of remorse and we feel very badly. Really? Really? A couple weeks ago, you said this never happened. Now you're feeling remorse? That's not remorse. That's you getting mad that you got caught. Another one of my former favorite players of all time is Justin Verlander, who talked big, big, tough talk about cheating with other teams. But when it comes to him, he was like, I wish I could have done more. I wish I said something more, but I didn't know what to do. Mr. Big Guy Leader, brought into the clubhouse to be the big leader. I don't know. Now, of course, Crane, the owner, who's saying, what was it that he said? He said something that was so absurd that I'm going to go back to my notes here because it was so absurd that I couldn't believe my ears when it was happening. But he said at one point in the interview, he said he doesn't think that the cheating affected the game. And then someone said, well, why don't you think it affected the game? And he said, I never said it didn't affect the game. You said it less than a minute before. But he said, I don't think I should be held accountable, the owner of the Astros. Well, why do you get to pick whether or not you are held accountable? Don't other people hold you accountable? There's something going on here that needs to be addressed. First, we thought, it was only Carlos Beltran. That suddenly, Carlos Beltran, of all people, was the big meanie who showed up and masterminded this. And now it turns out that's not the case. Now it turns out that there have been complaints about the Astros that were brought to Major League Baseball well before Mike Fiers said anything. And now we're starting to find out that maybe the front office and the people who are saying things like, I don't think I should be held accountable, might be having to hold them accountable. Look, I can't believe that me saying a few weeks ago that the concept of being responsible for your actions, and if you do something wrong, you should have to face some form of consequence, and that you should not be able to dictate what your own consequence is. And that was flung in my face as a political statement. Yeah, I was making a commentary of other things happening in the world, but that should not be a controversial statement. If you did something wrong, saying, I'm sorry, isn't enough. It isn't. If my kid picked up a plate and threw it on the ground, and I said, why'd you throw it on the ground? I'm sorry. Pick it up. I said I was sorry. You're punished. Why? I said I was sorry. I'm sorry are not words that magically make everything okay. I learned that as a kid. And so the Astros, not one of them is sorry. They were sorry they got caught. And now we're seeing that it is goes a little deeper than we originally thought. And, of course, they were all lying just a few weeks ago. And now it's like, it turns out we were. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. But they're going to do it again. Of course they are. Because there's no deterrent. Because there's no consequences. when there were no consequences for using PEDs. Everyone just used them. Why wouldn't you? It gives you an edge. And if there is no consequences to doing this, why wouldn't you do it? If you got an edge and there was no, you were never going to be punished for it, you were just given a strong talking to, saying, I don't want you doing that. Okay. Then a week goes by, I said, you want to do it again? Yeah, let's do it again. That's what happens. So I was always of the mindset that we shouldn't vacate the title and everything like that, but I'm starting to be leaning towards it because of the aftermath. And boy, oh boy, everything the Astros have done recently has been an abject disaster. And it's not just banging the trash cans either. Remember Brandon Taubman? Remember that Astro? I love that I can say Astro with a certain inflection, and we don't have to worry about getting an explicit rating. That Astro, who were taunting the woman reporters, saying they're so glad we picked up What's-His-Doodle, the domestic abuser whose name I'm not going to say right now, in a game that he blew. Remember that? This is the culture of the team. This is what this team is. And we now know that they have been caught, and they were, you know, they keep wanting to sweep things under the carpet, but the carpet's really lumpy. But what blows me away is they have had weeks and weeks and weeks to prep everyone, to get everyone ready, to when they realized it wasn't just AJ Hinch and Carlos Beltran. And they knew this was coming. Now, I got my master's degree in strategic communication from Washington State University. Those of you who think I talk too much about myself, don't worry. I'm linking this back to it. All right? Calm your horses. One of the things that I had to take to get my master's degree in strategic communication was I took several courses in crisis management for a company. If a company had to deal with a public mess, how do you go about creating a plan for it? And there were all sorts of things we had to learn how to do, statements to prepare, contingency plans, instructions for employees, instructions for executives, things that are going to be said publicly, things that are going to be prepared. And also, how do you prepare statements, keeping in mind the negative things that are going to be thrown at you? How do you prepare for all the worst-case scenarios? And I believe that the entire Astros front office, roster, and coaching staff would have, at tops, got a C-minus in that class. But I think most of them would have flunked. Because everyone seemed ill-prepared, and nobody seemed to look at the script and said, hey, this makes us look worse. They don't have one Washington State graduate on the payroll who could see their statements and say, this makes us look worse, guys. We look awful. And this makes us look like we don't understand the magnitude of this. We're not taking responsibility for this. And this is going to fan the flames. It blows my mind that they don't understand that. This makes it worse. When Glick, whatever the name of the new GM was asked, will you keep front office people who were involved in the cheating scandal? He tried to dodge it by saying, well, you know, I got to meet everyone, and everyone seems great. I can't wait to work with them. And a reporter asked him again, will you keep someone employed who is involved in the cheating scandal? Instead of saying, I'm not going to make a comment at this time, we will address each thing individually, he just said, oh, we got a great crew, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're making it worse. I don't understand the people who don't understand that concept. If you cut it off at the pass, or you take responsibility, then things start to go away. What makes people angry, a lot of times more than a bad action, is the lying and the dishonesty of the aftermath. That's all through history. And yeah, I'll throw a political one in there, including Watergate, is the thing that gets people the most angry. Isn't the action. It's the lying and not taking responsibility. And the fact that nobody in the Astros understands that makes us know the story's not going away. But I promise it won't be the main focus of the show. But do you know what? I couldn't not talk about it. So, Players Association, it's up to you to discipline them from within. As more and more players are becoming public of how angry they are about this whole thing. And you have to show the players who didn't cheat, you have their back. Because if you don't, guess what? The Astros will do it again. Other teams will do it again. And I have no doubt other teams did it. Probably the Red Sox. Probably some other teams too. All I got to say is this one last thing. How happy are we that the Nationals won the World Series? Because if this scandal was rocking as the defending World Series champions were coming to camp, this would be even worse than it is now. So as I started this podcast praising Martin Prado, let's also praise another veteran infielder, Howie Kendrick, whose home run in the seventh inning of Game 7 of the World Series put the Nationals ahead for good and saved us from an even weirder spring training. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Like us on Twitter. Are we on Facebook? I should probably look that up. We're on Twitter and on Instagram. Maybe we're on Facebook. If you know that, send me a tweet at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Giving love to Martin Prado, not so much to the Astros on this Valentine's Day. This is Locked On MLB, the number one daily national baseball podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.